other situation, preacher, that I've tried this or I've tried that. It don't matter. You align your will with the will of God, and I'm going to tell you, anything can happen. God can step in in a moment.
Right.
In a moment.
Yes.
God is awesome.
Yes, he is.
Beautiful Savior.
Great.
Thank you, Lord.
This is another testimony. And I'm going to testify it because it's Brother Jonathan's testimony. He missed a bill. He missed a bill last month or 3 months ago or whatever it was. And it finally came in and that bill was doubled. And he about had a heart attack. But this is how God works. God has a heart attack because the bill was way bigger than what he had. But you know what God did? Before he even got the bill, he already designed it to where God gave him $200 extra on that check. And the bill was $217. Of which he's got a tight, tight budget. And he started to freak out. But guess what? God had already pre-designed it and said, I'm already going to take care of that. You don't know what's coming in the mail, but when it gets here, I'll have the money already in the bank. Let me tell you today, God can show up on your behalf and give you the shot of your life. Say, wow, God, you knew that before it even happened. Look at you. I'm going to be a little bit facetious or funny or whatever, but I thought about that bamboo tree, and I went, bam, boom. Yeah, God show up. Bam, boom. Look at God do that. When God shows up on your behalf, you go, bam, boom, God did it again, and he can do it for anybody in this house, because God said, I'm no respecter of persons. I don't care if you're black, you're white, I don't care if you're any color in between, I don't care if you're rich or you're poor, you're side of high society or under a bridge, I can be anything you need me to be. And I can do it in an instant.
Hallelujah.
God can do it in an instant. Can you handle this a little bit more? Jesus was speaking to his disciples about his will for the harvest in the end time. He said in John chapter number 4, and verse number 35, he said, say not ye, yet there are 4 months, then cometh the harvest. Behold, everybody say, behold.
Behold.
I say unto you, lift up your eyes.
Lift up your eyes.
As I was reading about that bamboo, I can imagine, I know how I would feel. If I planted a seed, and I had to go out there for 4 years and water it, and not see any progress? Can you? No, no.
Yeah.
Brother Albert, you're a gardener. What do you do? Sister Marty, you're a gardener. You like the garden stuff. You two talk to your plants. Don't even tell them you don't. I know you do. Because them garden people are crazy. But I've talked to my plants too, so.
It works.
But it works. See, a firm believer in talking to your plants. But you plant that seed and you water it. But you already looked at the back of the page and you said, okay, it says it takes 30 to 40 days to germinate, right? And you put it on your calendar and you're watching. And when you get to day 35, you're like, yeah, I don't see nothing. Day 31, and you're on your hands and knees. Is the ground breaking at all? What's going on? You're looking. Why? Because there's hope inside of you.
Yes.
There's anticipation inside of you, right?
Right.
Anybody that's planted anything, and some people I know, some people are going, I ain't a green thumb, man. I kill everything I see.
I don't even have to touch it and it dies. The thing of it is, I'll give you the first clue, just water it. First thing. And not once a month either. You've got to water it. Come on now. There's anticipation. There's hope in a seed that's planted. Amen. And we look at it and we're waiting for something to happen, for something to come to fruition. So Jesus uses this example for his disciples because they could relate to this. They could relate to planting a seed and watching it grow. So he says to them, look or lift up your eyes, look on the field, for they are white already to harvest. He that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and reapeth may rejoice together. These disciples were familiar with the natural order of things. They understood that between sowing the seed and reaping the harvest would take about 4 months. They knew this is what it's going to take. So in their natural mind, after the seed of the word was sown, there was a natural waiting period. Some of us have planted some bamboo seeds.
Amen.
And it's taken a little bit longer.
Yes, sir.
Come on, it's taking a little bit longer than you're expecting for them to come to fruition. But let me encourage you today, just keep watering. Just keep believing. Just keep hoping. You just keep watching because it won't be long that it's going to break forth and it's going to come out of that ground suddenly.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. However, Jesus said this last day is a season of suddenness. Now, he didn't say it like that, but here, watch this. I want you to think about this. So here, the sower is going to sow. All right? This is kind of what it's like, okay? You three guys are harvesters, all right? Get off your lazy rear ends. I'm going to be the sower. So I'm sowing. And what's happening? This is the picture of what's happening. Jesus is saying, say not there 4 months, for the fields are white already.
Yes, they are.
I'm sowing, and these guys are reaping right behind me. Can you imagine? Now get this in your mind's eye. He said, there was the sower, he was sowing. And he said, say not that there are 4 months then cometh the harvest, for they're white already. Are you guys going to harvest today or what? And so I'm planting seed, and I hear behind me, what in the world is that noise? And I look behind him, whoa, it's already.
Yes.
It's already. And you see, none of us. I gotta have three of these guys. I gotta have three of these guys for this one to sow. Because nobody plants a field of corn and expects to get one ear.
Right.
We are all expecting when we put something in the ground, we're going to get an exponential amount of more. So I'm going to keep on planting, and the scripture said the fields are white already to harvest. As I'm planting, those guys are coming behind me, and they are harvesting. And there's so much, because God's intention is not that we just multiply or that we just have addition, but it's exponential. I put a seed, and there's three or four ears of corn. Right? I plant another seed, three or four, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and it grows exponentially. Thanks, guys. And so the scripture really is saying, Jesus is really trying to bring this across, say not, don't think about 4 months, then cometh the harvest. It's now. Just keep planting, and there's somebody that's going to be there reaping.
Amen.
Instantly, with great surprise. It's harvest time now. not in 4 months, but now. It isn't, let me say it like this, it isn't the will of God for us to reach or win one soul per year. There needs to be something that happens and goes beyond that becomes more scriptural, like God's type of math. He said, and suddenly there were 120 filled in the upper room on that day. But a few verses later it said, and then there was 3,000 added. Come on, and then a few chapters after that, he said there was 5,000 added. And let me tell you, I'm tired of, please forgive me before you get mad. I'm tired of hearing what happens in Ethiopia. I'm tired of hearing the great reports of a move of God in Africa. Not that I don't like it. Okay? I am excited about what's going on in Africa and what's going on in Brazil right now and what's going on in Zimbabwe in particular. My goodness, there's a revival going in Zimbabwe right now that is just so explosive. One in India right now also, and in Taiwan, where they're not allowed to worship freely, but it is happening all over. But you know what? I want it in America. I said I want it in America. Can I be more specific? I want it in Northern Nevada. I want it in Rico and Sparks. I want to move of God in a sudden and profound way. The God shakes our city, our area in such an awesome way. But God, what is it going to take for us to have that kind of revival? I want to tell you what it's going to take. We're going to have to align our will with the will of God. Amen. I want to tell you what needs to happen. It's not... God's not bound by a boundary. God's not more interested in Africa and India and Taiwan. I promise you. But I will tell you what the deal is. There's a hunger. I said there's a hunger. There's a hunger there because of so much idolatry. They want something that is real. And so they're crying out to Jesus. They're crying out and saying, there's got to be more. Can I be blunt? Can I be blunt and say, there's got to be more than this dumb idol?
Right.
And that scripture, the way it uses dumb idol, it has ears but it cannot hear. It has a mouth but cannot speak. It has eyes but cannot see. It has no ability to feel. I can go rub his belly all day long, but he don't feel nothing, and he can't help me.
That's right.
And I'm not being a hater, but I'm going to tell you something that our Bible says, that we can feel, or he can feel the effects of our infirmities. I just messed that scripture up. But he is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. There it is. He is touched with the feeling of our infirmity. He knows that he can feel our pain. He can feel our suffering. He can feel those things. I'm so glad that I know who Jesus is. And I know that I can cry out to him. I don't have to go anywhere else. But I have a direct line to Almighty God. God, I need you to answer. I need you to help me. I need you to deliver me. And that's what our world is looking for.
Amen.
Our world is looking for that. Unfortunately, this great country that we live in is not quite there.
Right.
We're so steeped in religion.
that we've lost our relationship.
Right.
There was once upon a time in America that we were founded upon a relationship with Jesus and not a religion. But America is the most religious country in the world, but has the least amount of relationship
with Almighty. And there is a difference.
Yes.
Come on, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Amen. I want to tell you, there's got to be a change in the hunger level. Amen. There's got to be a change in the hunger level. Can we believe God for Him to act suddenly? Or are you today one that is calculating, well, I don't know if He can really do that for me? Let me tell you, if we can just get our will aligned with His will, amen. I'm preaching to you today as Ezekiel did to those dry bones that had no hope, that had no life. That you can't. That even though you feel like you're stuck in a box, you don't feel like there's any hope for your situation. You don't feel like there's any way out. Maybe you need deliverance. Maybe the doctors have just put their stamp and said, there's nothing that we can do to help you. Well, I'm going to tell you that we still serve a
awesome God.
I said we still serve a mighty God that still heals. He can still. I'm going to tell you the reason why. Because we don't have enough faith in Almighty God. We put our faith in the physicians.
I'm not against doctors. I go to them. I've been to them. And I'm not against them. But I'm going to tell you what. We better make sure that we're saying, God, I want to use you as my first choice. You're my first and foremost choice of physician. I want you to heal me, God. I don't have to be like this.
When our will gets in line with God's will, something will happen. And I'm going to close. Hezekiah had things prepared before the suddenness.
Let me just take you back to our opening scripture real quick. Hezekiah had these burnt offerings. Where I began to first read in verse 35, it said, there were burnt offerings in abundance. Before suddenness, there was sacrifice. Now we'll get down to the nitty gritty. Before suddenness, there was sacrifice. The word sacrifice is a word that is not used in our society hardly ever. Hardly ever. Kids that go without a cell phone think it's such a sacrifice.
Right?
Huh? Oh, yeah. The thing of it is it's a blessing to not have one.
Yes.
Amen.
I wish we could go back. I really do. I wish we could go back to the place where they were stuck to the wall.
Right.
Yeah. And take them everywhere.
Right. If you wanted to get a hold of me, you had to leave a message. And it might be five or six hours later before I call you back. But everything seems to be emergency. Gotta talk right now.
Yeah.
And we've gotten such a in that way with each other
that we don't talk to Him.
Right.
Hallelujah. Sacrifice is to forfeit one thing for another thing that is considered to be of a greater value or more important or more worthy.
Before we can see the suddenness of God, we must sacrifice. We must pray sacrificially. Fast sacrificially. I know that may not preach very well in a lot of places, but nevertheless, it's in your Bible. Amen. The power of prayer and fasting. The power of giving. We've got to pray, fast, and give sacrificially. Then it said, with the fat of the peace offerings. The peace offerings were in abundance. In other words, there has to be unity in the house of the Lord. Yes. We must keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, as the scripture said. Unity is not uniformity, it's unanimity.
My brain had it up here, but it doesn't. You know what I'm talking about.
Not that everybody has to look the same, act the same, talk the same, blah, 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 but there's got to be the same direction. Come on. There's got to be the same direction. We got to be heading the same direction, not every other direction. I was so amazed, and I preached when I just mentioned just very, very quickly on Wednesday night about how much marijuana and pot is in our schools. And how freely it is. And I'm going to tell you something. It scares me. It bothers me. When even in the church, you got kids that are raised in church that are defending the use of it. That bothers me. Yeah. Well, it's legal. Yeah. There's a lot of things that are legal.
Right.
It don't mean it's good for you.
That's right.
It don't mean it's right.
That's right. That's right.
Well, say, oh, you shouldn't be doing that. That's a political agenda. No, it's not a political agenda at all. It's a biblical agenda.
Right.
Anything that alters the mind.
Right.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
I don't have enough time to go there and preach on all of that. But I'm going to tell you, it astounded me, and it made me, there was a couple of kids that began to make some statements, and they said, I'm so glad Pastor preached that. That helped me.
Good.
And some of you get tight because you're like, oh, but I got young people going, that was a certain sound. I've got direction with that. Yes. That makes sense. Yes. That helps me. I'm going to tell you, there needs to be a voice in our age that says, hey, you don't have to waste your life away. Get some direction. Go somewhere in life. Don't just waste your time. I got off on the wrong subject. I apologize. But nevertheless, I want to tell you, it's a scary thing because it seems like everything that as our society digresses, the church digresses. That ought not to be.
Right.
Well, it's not that big a deal anymore that all of these things are in the church, All right. There ought to be a great chasm between.
Yes.
That people say, no, there's something different. Majorly different.
Yes.
Amen. It's going to be a sad day when preachers start saying, well, you know, you can smoke marijuana for a little bit. I mean, it's not that bad.
Oh, no. Good.
And then it's not going to be just that. It's going to go to the next thing, to the next thing.
Yes, it is.
And before too long, there won't be anything. There won't be anything that will delineate. And that's what we need. That's what I'm preaching about. I'm talking about God coming in suddenly in your life and changing something in such a dramatic way. You've got a direction that you're headed.
Amen.
No! You can't quite change it yourself. But I'm going to tell you, if you'll find a place in Jesus, He can totally turn that direction. I was telling somebody just yesterday. I said, I'm telling you, God is interested
and doing some exchange with you. He said, I want to give you beauty for your ashes. I want to give you the oil of joy for your mourning. I want to give you the garment of praise for your spirit of heaviness. I want to raise, can you stand with me today? I want to raise you up out of that despair and that despondency and that brokenness and that heartache. Isn't that what Jesus said that he came for? He came to bind up the brokenhearted. He came to set at liberty them that are held captive. The last thing there said, so the service of the house of the Lord was set in order. And Hezekiah rejoiced, and the people rejoiced. Why? Because God had prepared something great for them. Obviously, I don't have the time to go back in all of the despair that Hezekiah had to go through. But as he was setting things in order, as he was working, God came in suddenly and restored so much. You close your eyes this morning. Almost done. Afternoon, but it's still this morning. Is there something in your life that you don't know what to do with? You don't know how to fix it? There's a bondage, there's an addiction there. You don't know how to get free of it. You want to, but you don't know how. Is there a healing that you need in your body today? I don't know. I don't know where every single one of you are at today. And I don't need to know where you're at, because Jesus knows exactly where you're at. He knows the struggle in your mind. He knows the struggle of your heart. He knows your physical condition. He knows your mental capacity. He knows your emotional situation. So I want to challenge you today. I want to ask you today. Do you want God to come in and change it? I'm here to tell you that it doesn't need to be a long, drawn-out process. God can heal you in a moment. God can deliver you, my friend, in a moment. God can touch your mind in just a moment. Instantly, He can surprise you. He can amaze you. One of the scriptures that came to my mind in Isaiah, I believe it's 9 and 12, it said that the Lord rideth on a swift cloud. God is not interested in letting you suffer another moment. If you're ready, if you're ready for your deliverance, if you're ready for your healing, if you're ready for your miracle, if you're ready for God to touch you, He can do it right now. Will you lift up your hand right where you're at? If you've got a need, Jesus is in this house. Maybe you're an individual that you want to go ahead and step out of that pew, that row of chairs where you're at, and you want to make your way to the front of this altar. I encourage you to do so today. Are you ready? Are you ready?
Are you ready for God to do something great? Are you ready for God to do something miraculous in your life? I know the question's been in your mind, but God, I don't know. Why don't you try it? Why don't you try it? Why don't you try it? God, here it is. Here's what I've got. Here's my situation. I can't handle it anymore. I can't bear it anymore. It's beyond me. It's beyond my mental capacity. It's beyond my physical capacity. God, I need a miracle today. Can you reach out to the Lord and say that? Can you say that to them? God, I need your deliverance today. I need you to bind up some brokenness. Maybe you've got a broken heart today. Jesus is here to bind it up, to heal it in a miraculous way. Will you reach out to him? Come on, will you reach out to him all over this house? Don't worry about what anybody else is doing. If you've got a need, he's got an answer. Will you make your way to the front of this altar? Will you do that? Will you cry out unto the Lord? Maybe you say, well, I'm not real comfortable, but will you do this for me then? Will you reach out to God right where you're at and call upon the name of the Lord right where you're at? God, I need your help. Come on, be honest with God today. Be honest with God today. God, forgive me. I see some things and some errors in my way. Would you forgive me? Would you touch my mind? Would you touch me today, God? Come on, will you reach today? Will you reach today? Maybe where it's appropriate, reach across the aisle, or maybe to your neighbor and pray with them right now. Pray with somebody right now. Encourage somebody. Encourage somebody today. Oh, Jesus, help us, Lord.